Where do you get your health and fitness advice? From social media? Magazines? Maybe that random guy at the gym? Well, it could be time to start looking somewhere a little deeper. Maybe it's time to take some wellness tips from Native American philosophies and practices. That's the idea behind the new book, The Seven Circles, Indigenous Teachings for Living Well, by Chelsea Luger and Thosh Collins. Chelsea is a member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa and a descendant of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, and her writing has appeared in The Atlantic, Huffington Post, and other outlets. Along with her husband Thosh Collins, Chelsea founded Well for Culture, an organization dedicated to bringing Native American wellness wisdom to the masses. Here she is to share five big ideas from the book.
Native American cultures are bursting with wellness knowledge. If you're an American who knows anything about wellness or spirituality, chances are you know something about some type of wellness or spiritual practice that comes from a faraway part of the world, whether yoga or Buddhism or the Mediterranean diet. But what you probably don't know is that there is an ancient tradition of wellness that has been carried on by indigenous people for thousands of years, right here on this land we all stand on. There are a lot of reasons why you don't know anything about Native American wellness. This book teaches you a lot of that history of cultural genocide and spiritual suppression. Your eyes will be open to the reality that the government, military, and the church worked hand in hand to kill off as many Native people and as much of our cultures as they possibly could. It's no wonder that our stories lie in the margins of history books today. Through this book, you'll realize that you have been robbed of the opportunity to understand the fullness and richness of ancient American history. It will dawn on you that you have seen so many negative, stereotypical stories about Native American people on the news, you'll realize you've been so busy feeling sorry for us that you've forgotten to wonder what we can teach you. But then you'll also learn the very inspiring fact that despite all of this, our culture remains, and so does our science and our wisdom. And you will find that from the Athabascans of Alaska to the Autumn of Arizona and everywhere in between, the spiritual teachings and wellness lifeways of our ancestors have been diligently carried on by our leaders and activists and mothers through the generations. And those very teachings contain a wealth of knowledge that can help anyone today who is struggling to live in balance.
Everyone suffers from colonialism. Settler colonialism is not only an indigenous problem. Yes, our ancestors and our people today have uniquely experienced these impacts, but today all Americans in some way are struggling with health due to the imposition of capitalism and sedentary culture. The degradation of the health of the land and the disconnection to real food has caused a sharp rise in modern diseases like diabetes and heart disease. And even the widespread mental health issues that come from too much technology and not enough real-world connection. Our collective health issues are a symptom of colonialism. The Seven Circles of Wellness, a model for health and healing that we lay out in this book, is a map for collective healing that is informed by the teachings and lifeways of indigenous people. If you think about it, Native American societies are the only people in history who have accomplished a holistically well lifestyle on this land. And in the grand scheme of things, our era of good health ended not so long ago. So in fact, if colonialism has harmed all of us, then perhaps indigenous knowledge can help us all heal.
Wellness needs to be more inclusive. Like interconnection, inclusion is another staple concept in indigenous thinking, and so it permeates our way of teaching wellness. This book shows you that in order to be well for ourselves, we have to be well for others. This can be seen as either a burdensome responsibility or as a wonderful opportunity to effect positive change. Self-care doesn't have to be selfish. We can spend time exercising, building strength, not to overpower others or to look a certain way, but to have more energy to exert in the service of others. We can revamp our perspective on food and commit to eating better for our health, not just to see a different number on the scale, but to help our children develop a healthy relationship to food. Inclusivity is also intergenerational. On our path to good health, we must value and learn from the perspectives of our elders and our babies and everyone in between. Otherwise, we're missing out on a whole host of knowledge and gifts that come from people who are traditionally excluded from modern wellness culture. There are aspects of health and wellness that a frail 80-year-old grandmother performs with far greater proficiency than her 20-year-old athlete grandson. The boy approaches diet and exercise with scientific precision. He appears physically strong. The grandmother keeps her home beautifully so that it feels like a serene, sacred space where creativity and connection can flourish. She cooks beautiful homemade meals from memory. They both have gifts to offer. Recognizing this, we can learn from and admire all forms and iterations of wellness and do our best to apply what we can in our own lives.
Interconnection is critical in wellness. Indigenous wellness is all about relationships. For example, we understand that food isn't just a lifeless commodity that comes in a package or a can, but rather it is a living, breathing, and life-giving entity, and that as soon as we begin to respect it and develop a relationship to it, a beautiful and far-reaching healing process will begin to unfold. Wellness isn't just about losing weight or taking vitamins. It's about cultivating a sense of belonging, purpose, and fulfillment in this life. Interconnection has always been the basis of Indigenous worldview. We know that if something impacts our physical health, negatively or positively, so too will it impact our mental, spiritual, and emotional health. This is an ancestral teaching that we were raised with and predates this book by thousands of years. We took this ancestral teaching and molded it into a model that suits everyone today. We saw that there is an inherent flaw in the Western tendency to compartmentalize and categorize everything into separate areas. For example, we go to different places and are prescribed completely different practices for mental versus physical health. We understood that this compartmentalization has impeded our ability to see the big picture of our health, and thus makes it difficult for any of us to address health in a comprehensive way. The seven circles of wellness will help you to make these connections, to understand health holistically, and to use this knowledge to find a way to live in balance once again, just as our ancestors did. After reading the seven circles, you will begin to connect all of the dots in your health, realizing that whether or not you engaged in rigorous movement that day impacts how you slept at night, which impacted your ability to think clearly and get through all of your emails, which impacted whether you found the energy to lovingly cook a nourishing meal and find connection with your family, and so on.
Health is not just diet and exercise. Yes, food and movement are important, which is why we included them as two of the circles of wellness, and we dedicate entire chapters to each one. But the Indigenous perspective on wellness is uniquely comprehensive in that it includes other areas of life that tend to be left out entirely of the wellness conversation. For example, sacred space. The way that we arrange, clean, and even decorate our home can have a significant impact on the way that we feel while we are in it. Our pre-colonial Indigenous ancestors were masters of minimalism and making the home feel inviting and warm. This book teaches how to reincorporate aspects of our health that our ancestors demonstrated so beautifully, but that often get ignored today. In addition to sacred space, this includes ceremony, finding time for silence, peace, and introspective light, connection to land with practices like growing food and earth gym, and community, which includes cultivating a sacred circle of healthy relationships, because connection is key to thriving and living in balance in today's chaotic world.
Thank you, Chelsea. That was Five Big Ideas from The Seven Circles, Indigenous Teachings for Living Well by Chelsea Luger and Thosh Collins. You might also want to listen to our book bite for Sweat, A History of Exercise by Bill Hayes. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.